to heal and restore and renew tonight. And Father, as we come around your word, as we share communion together, Lord, I pray that you would minister to us, that, Lord, you would speak, and that, Lord, you might invade our space, that you might disrupt our circumstance, that, Lord, you might just cause your presence to flood, and that, Lord God, you would speak and we would hear. And we thank you, God, and we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Pinch somebody on the cheek, say, good to see you. He stretched out his hand. He stretched out his hand. What is the circumstance that God would stretch out his hand toward you? I don't know about you. I want God's hand to stretch toward me. In his hand is healing. In his hand is blessing. In his hand is provision. In his hand is his anointing, his power. In God's hand is the awareness that I'm not alone. How good it is when, I don't know, you might have been in a moment of distress or concern and someone just reached out a hand. Someone just, it's going to be okay. It'll be all right. You get there. There's something about a hand stretched. What would cause God's hand to stretch toward you? That's the question that I've had burning in my heart as I prepared for tonight. What would cause God, or creator of the heavens and the earth, who by his very word said, let there be light, and it was so, and it is still so. Still stars are being formed. The God who said, let the heavens separate, let the earth be formed. The God who said, let vegetation come to life and let water flood the earth and let healing come. Come on. Thanks, God. Come on. We set that up. It's like, what, that God, what would cause that God in your life for his hand to be stretched toward you? Do you know that you have the capacity to cause God's hand to move toward you? I wonder if you realize that. The hand of God. You know, Jesus offered his hands to disciples. There, they're locked away after Jesus' crucifixion and his burial. Some of the women had come in the morning and said, he's alive. He appeared to us. Peter and John run to the tomb. They find it just as the women had spoke. Him they didn't see. Disciples are in an upper room, scared stiff, not knowing what's going on. And Jesus says, peace be with you. All of a sudden, he's materialized. Wasn't a ghost walking through walls. He's the living God, who was mortal but is now clothed in immortality and has appeared before them and said, here I am. Here I am. Touch me. It's me. Of course, those same disciples worship and honor Jesus, and they tell a guy called Thomas. Thomas, Jesus is alive. And Thomas is really honest, as many of us should be. Because Thomas is really from that school that says, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. How many of us are like that? We get told stories all the time. I don't believe that till I see it. And of course, those disciples, again, we're told in the scriptures, they're in that upper room and they're together, but this time Thomas is among them, and all of a sudden Jesus says, peace be with you. And straight away he turns to Thomas and he stretches out his hand. And he says, come on, Thomas, put your hand in the where the nails went. Because Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger where those nails went, unless I can put my hand in his side. He was so vehement. Hey, Thomas got the hand of Jesus to stretch. He got the hand of Jesus to stretch out. He got Jesus' hand to reach out and go, here, it's me. It's me. I'm here. Now, that isn't always the recommended way to get Jesus' hand to stretch. But what we do know, something from Thomas's encounter, is this. Of course, Thomas doesn't want to put his hand in the nail scars, and he doesn't want to put his hand in the side when he meets Jesus. And he just drops to his knees and he says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus is blessed by that, that he finally recognises who Jesus is. Thomas recognises. But he says something to Thomas. He says, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are they who believe but have not seen. What does it take for the hand of God to stretch out towards you? Have you figured it out? Have you worked it out? It's not a hard test. This is one where we can get all 10 out of 10. It's one where we can get A pluses. We can get the maximum ATAR, or, you know. What does it take for God to stretch out his hand? Anybody? Come on, preacher girl. What does it take for God to stretch out his hand? Come on now. You just said it. Faith. Faith. Well, what's faith? Well, Bible I read, rendering the NIV version in my mind, but Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. New King James Version talks about evidence of things unseen. Do you wish the hand of God to be stretched toward you? That's the question. In your life, in your going in and your coming out, in the stuff that you do every day, do you want the hand of God, the nail-scarred hand of God, to be stretched toward you? Sadly, and Bethany's praying for people now, sometimes it's no. No, I don't want the hand of God. Sometimes when we're in compromised situations, it's like, no, I don't want God's hand. Because we think that if God's hand did stretch, it would be a slap rather than a hand extended. See, if the devil can get you into a place where you fear the hand of God, then you won't stretch out your faith for it. If he can, if you think, oh, if the hand of God came near me, if God's hand, you know, just touched me, oh, you know, I'll disintegrate. You know, if the hand of God came near me, you know, it's like, man, you know, I'd be condemned. You know, there was a man who experienced the hand of God stretch out toward him. In Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 40, it says this, that there was a leper. Now, a leper was somebody who had a contagious skin disease. Leprosy still exists, but in biblical times it was rampant and there was no cure. And if you contracted leprosy, in actual fact, you were called an untouchable. Right? You didn't want anybody to touch you, and you didn't want to touch anybody else because there was this fear of the contagion of leprosy was going to spread. And so the last thing you want is to infect anybody or to be infected yourself. And so if someone was a leper and they were coming near a town, they would cry out, unclean, 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 and people would sort of veer away from them. Imagine being in that circumstance. But you know, some of us, We don't experience the hand of God in our life because it's like on the inside we're screaming out, unclean, unclean. Because we've got a conscience. We know what's good and we know what's not good. And we come close to God and sometimes our conscience rises up and it's like there's this sense of unclean, unclean. What's the thing that causes God's hand to stretch? Come on. Faith. Faith is the thing. So if your faith can be bigger than your sense of being unclean, guess what that invites? The miracle hand of God to be stretched out towards you. And in this encounter, this leper came to Jesus. He didn't come going, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Stay away from me, Jesus. No, no, no. He came to Jesus. He came diseased. He came with all the contagion. He came with all the words ever spoken over his life. Stay away, stay away, stay away. He came with all the lived experience for however long he'd been living with leprosy. He came with that. The scripture says that he came to Jesus imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him just a few remarkable words, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He's not saying, if you are willing, you can heal me. He's saying, if you are willing, you can change my circumstance. Everything around me screams out, stay away, don't let anybody come near. But if you're willing, you can make me clean. Oh my goodness. Was this a man who came to Jesus with faith? This was a man who, I don't know, had he heard Jesus speak? I don't know. We're never told anything about this guy other than this story. And the fact that later, if you read Mark's gospel, it says Jesus said, hey, be quiet, you know, because he's actually healed from his leprosy. He says, look, don't tell anybody. And of course, the guy is just so filled with the joy that he's touching everybody. Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? I'm healed. And in fact, so many people, he speaks to so many people that crowds so gather that Jesus has to go further out of town. You can read that for yourself later in the passage. But what the scripture says is in the midst of this moment, with this man kneeling down before him, going, if you are willing, you could make me clean. The scripture says Jesus is moved with compassion. I ask you tonight, has Jesus got compassion for your circumstance? I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe everything's fantastic and good. Maybe, you know, if somebody asks you, how are things? You go, yeah, they're all right. Maybe some of you, if somebody asked that question, went, well, they're seeing you ask. Blah. Has Jesus got compassion toward your situation? See, what this scripture says is that this leper, he's desperate. He's desperate. And he's not allowing any words that have been spoken over him, any circumstances that have sort of dictated the way he's had to live his life to this point, the stuff that happens in life, he's not allowing any of that to disrupt him reaching out to God, reaching out to Jesus. He doesn't know whether God's compassionate toward him. But what he does know, he knows in faith. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And the scripture says that Jesus is moved with compassion. Compassion, it's an interesting word. It actually means moved in the inner parts. You know, sometimes I don't want to be moved in the inner parts. Man, it usually means I've got to sit on the loo for a while. But that's what it means. That's what it means. There's this sense of this gut-wrenching pull deep within. You ever experienced it? Something like that. That's what compassion is. Compassion is not sympathy. Right? Some of you may have heard me say this before. But the position of sympathy is this. This is the disposition of sympathy. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for what you're going through. There's nothing I can do about it, but I'm sorry that you're going through that. That is sympathy. Compassion, totally different disposition. Where was this guy? He's on his knees. What is the disposition of compassion? It meets you where you're at. So in this case, compassion is on its knees. Compassion takes the risk of putting an arm around and going, I might not fully understand what you're going through, but hey, I'm here for you. And we'll get through this together. Jesus is moved with compassion. And that compassion, now, see, the thing is, with compassion, it's a great thing. Great to feel compassionate toward whoever. You know, we're compassionate toward our missions partners around the world. We're compassionate toward Destiny Rescue. And, you know, we know tonight that 124 girls have got a safe bed to sleep in because we've provided homes for girls rescued from sexual slavery. We know tonight that 25 more widows and their families this year will be added to the almost 500 other widows that we've provided homes for since we've had a relationship with Sister Connection in Burundi. There's whole families tonight living under the safety of a roof. Rain, like you just heard, well, there's a roof over there. We've got compassion toward that. But see, that's the thing with compassion. Compassion always leads to action. See, because compassion that just, you know, you feel a whole lot of stuff and I'm here with you, but if it's all lip service, guess what it becomes? Sympathy. Very quickly, the position changes and you're back to being sympathetic. You need to understand this. God is not sympathetic toward you. He doesn't change like we have the capacity to change. Yeah, we can be compassionate about one thing for one moment and then we're into sympathy. God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And his compassion is toward you. So this passage says that Jesus is moved with compassion. Then what does it say? On the basis of his compassion, guess what? He stretches out his hand. He stretches out his hand. All the resource of heaven, all the anointing, all of the authority, all of the majesty of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is now stretched out toward this man who's saying, if you're willing, you can make me clean. All of the favor, all the disposition of God is now toward. You need to understand tonight, if you're going through a thing or two, and you've ever wondered, is God compassionate toward my situation? Does God care? Does God love me? Is God there? You need to know that he's more than there. If he's compassionate toward you, he's reaching out his hand. What is the thing that causes his hand to reach out? Faith. It's faith. It's faith to believe, God, you've got my back. God, you care. God, you're there. God, you're more concerned for me than I realize you are. And God, your hand is stretching. Your hand is stretching toward my circumstance. Now, I don't know. I can't say to you that this is biblical, what I'm about to say to you. You've got to examine this and think it through yourself. If you had been somebody who had been called unclean. Now, he's bold enough to come before Jesus and say, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he drops to his knees. And Jesus is moved with compassion. And I wonder if you could picture it. Jesus is stretching out his hand. What do you think the man does? Does he rush toward Jesus' hand? Or does he pull away? Does he stand there frozen? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me. The Bible doesn't tell me that. Part of me thinks that maybe there was a sense of, no, right at the last moment, no. You don't have to do it. No, God. Part of me thinks he was like, you bring it on, God. I don't know. We'll ask that man in heaven, right? We'll ask him. But what we know is that when Jesus stretches out his hand, what happens next? He touches him. He touches him. This one who is called untouchable, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, reaches out and says, I move with compassion, I'm reaching out my hand, and now I'll touch you. I'll touch you. I need the touch of God in my life. And friend, so do you. You need those moments. You need those moments in worship. Those moments when you're reading the Bible by yourself. You need those moments when you're just seeking after God on your own. You need those moments where the Holy Spirit comes and you know it's the Holy Spirit. And he's there and he's able and he's anointing and he's touching. You know, I've had a very curious thing. I don't ever say to people, this is going to happen the same way for you. But on the night that I was baptized, everybody was praying that I'd get the gift of tongues. I think I've shared on this before. And they were speaking tongues over me and I was trying to speak tongues and it never came. Never came. But I still remember this sort of sense of, in the congregation. And it was like, it was a church that believed that the only sign of the saved was actually the gift of tongues, which, anyway. And then I went inside with this awe over me. I'm confused. I'm a young fella. I've stretched out my, you know, I've gone to Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand. And Jesus touched me. But everybody else is going, oh. And I can remember, it's a bit embarrassing, don't get this image in your mind, but I can remember getting out of my togs, buck naked, and all of a sudden the presence of God was in the room. And it was like the periphery of my vision went golden. And I could do no other thing than fall flat on my face. Praise God, nobody came in the room. And I don't know how long I was there, but what I know in those moments is I felt a hand on my head. And actually, whenever I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, I still feel that. Now, not everybody feels that thing, but I've learned to be aware when the Holy Spirit's touch. God wants you to be aware of his touch because he's stretching out his hand. But if God stretches out his hand, he's stretching out his hand for one purpose and one person only, a purpose only, and that's to touch you. To cause his goodness and his blessing and his anointing to be on you. And every one of us can experience that. But what causes God's hand to be stretched in the first place? Faith. Faith. This scripture says that Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and then said, he spoke, there was a word that came, and the word was, I am willing, be clean. And the Bible says that instantly his leprosy left him. See, when God is moved with compassion toward you and he stretches out his hand and he touches you, guess what? He's always going to speak.
He's always going to speak. He's always going to, and his word, that one word said, let there be light. So if God speaks to you and to me, guess what? That's a word that changes everything. It changes everything. Now you need to understand that Jesus demonstrated his compassion toward us. The Bible says that while we were still in our sin, separated far from God, he died for us. He's sitting there one night with his disciples. They're about to celebrate the Passover meal. The Passover, of course, had been that Jewish celebration of the Exodus from Israel. The circumstances that caused plagues had come from Egypt, Israel leaving Egypt. The plagues had come, Pharaoh's heart was hard, all of this, and then Moses comes back to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says, you know, well, even if God struck down all the firstborn of Egypt, I still won't let you go. And Moses, don't say that. Don't say that, because Moses knew that's exactly what you'd just spoken, a curse over the nation. And in fact, God spoke and said, the angel of death is going to come. But if you would take the blood of a lamb and put it on the lintel of your doorposts, then the angel will see that and pass over. And of course, that horrible night occurred. But the people of Israel never forgot. In fact, that's still, the Passover is still celebrated by Messianic Jews who love Jesus. That's still celebrated. And Jesus is celebrating the Passover. They're in the midst of that amazing recognition that God stretched out his hand. It was a different way. And God touched. It was a different touch. And God spoke. It was a different set of words, but God rescued. And they never wanted to forget the hand of God stretched out. And so this night they gathered together celebrating the Passover. And Jesus takes one of the cups and says, I'm not going to drink this again until I drink it anew with you in the kingdom. I share that. And then, because usually when we talk about communion, we just go to the bread and then the cup. But in fact, there's two cups shared that night. First is this, I'm not going to do this again, but let's have a drink now, boys. Like, let's remember what God's going to do. And then he says, he takes the bread, he takes the unleavened bread. And he says, this is my body given for you. Eat it. Remember what I've done for you. Now, of course, we're post-cross, post-the-resurrection. We understand now what this means. But for those disciples that night, they weren't understanding what was going on. And whilst I say that we can understand now, still we can have some misunderstanding. You need to understand Jesus was instituting something that would be a continual reminder to you and to me that he's moved with compassion, and he stretches out his hand, and he touches, and he speaks into our life. That's what communion reminds us. And so Jesus broke bread and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he takes that second cup and he says, this cup is the wine of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, drink it and remember. Remember. It's an interesting thing. Were we there? No. How do we remember? By faith. What causes the hand of God to be stretched out toward us? Faith. Something. Jesus was actually, faith is important. Faith's important. Faith causes my presence to come, my goodness to flow. Faith causes my hand to be stretched, my hand to touch, my word to speak.
So be filled with faith.